All right, good afternoon. You know, when I suggested this talk a couple months ago to Dan Holm, a director of marketing, I pitched it as sort of a small, intimate gathering where the product team and an MVP could talk about the product, and I guess I should have relied on the SharePoint community to turn out en masse. So thank you. I'm glad they upgraded us to a bigger room. Cool. So how many people here have seen at least one demo of the modern SharePoint? So either through Jeff's keynote or my intranet session. Okay, a lot of people. So everybody here feels pretty qualified to be a loyalty program manager at a fashion constants retail company, right? We figured when we were doing this talk that most people would have some basic familiarity with the modern SharePoint and some of the work that we've done. So as Laura and I talked about what to do with this talk, we wanted to sort of take that into account and really talk about, as you all go back to your offices and have to talk about it with end users, talk about it with business decision makers or CIOs, how can you really get the most out of it? A combination of both the technology, but also best practices for user adoption and how to tell the simplest, most powerful messages. And we did think the best way to do that was a co-presentation from myself. My name is Adam Harmetz. I've been working on SharePoint in Redmond for 11 years. I, broadly speaking, run the modern internet and developer platform product management team, so team sites, biz apps, publishing, and portals, as well as somebody who lives and breathes SharePoint every day in the community, in customer accounts, hardly needs any introduction, Laura. Rogers, most of you know her. She actually started her career in IT, but mostly in the most recent years has been doing a lot of end-user engagement, a lot of adoption work. And so I think it's really cool that we're going to approach this together. This will mostly be Laura's show. I'm going to let her take the stage for most of the time. After some slides and all that, I'll come back and do a bit of a demo. So Laura, I'll let you take it away from here on out.
Thanks, Adam. All right. So let's talk a little bit about our agenda for today. First of all, we're going to sort of set the stage and do the introduction as to what we'll be talking about today. We're going to talk about your roles in IT or whatever your role is in the business in SharePoint. Then we're going to bridge over to the user adoption portion, and we'll talk a little bit about this whole citizen developer concept towards the end. All right, so this is sort of setting the stage for what we're going to really be talking about today. There are three main uses that we typically see for SharePoint sites. The first one is just team collaboration, just sort of the bread and butter of SharePoint, collaborating on documents, sending documents, you know, links back and forth, and just using team sites for ad hoc collaboration. Then we have publishing sites, which are, I think it's a 2-to-1, team sites to publishing sites according to how they're used. But publishing sites are mostly one-way information. A lot of people are just reading them, and there were just a handful of editors. Then the third kind of site that we see a good bit of in SharePoint are the business solutions and custom sort of apps, like SharePoint Business Solutions that we create with lists and libraries and workflows. The thing that we're going to be talking about today is the team collaboration, the team sites, ad hoc collaboration on files. All right, so now this is going to be about your role. So since we're talking about getting the most of Microsoft SharePoint, getting the most of SharePoint is different to different people, depending on what your role is in the company or in IT. So there are different sort of levels of roles here, like the tenant and farm level. So this isn't necessarily just SharePoint admins, you know, technical admins, but this is anybody who is maybe in charge of governance or anything that has to do with the architecture of the whole farm or the whole tenant. That's the first level. And then we have the business users who are the end users, power users, even site managers. And then we have citizen developers that we'll talk about as well. We're going to be sort of talking about the farm level and then bridging over to how they can help the business users. As we can see, depending on the size of your organization and depending on the way you've architected SharePoint, you have these sort of roles, but they're very, very different in different organizations. You have this tenant level. Of course, if you're a small company and you have a couple of people, you could have one admin. And then you have business users, and I see a lot of sort of blurry lines between the person that's the admin and those roles, and then the people that are maybe in charge of adoption, in charge of governance, and kind of getting all the sites organized and business users. And then in the middle, we have these, quote, citizen developers, which is kind of a combination of both. Sometimes it's an IT person, sometimes it's just maybe a business person that's very enthusiastic about SharePoint. All right, so now we're putting ourselves in the role of that sort of higher level in this portion. What are some of the responsibilities of the high-level person? We have troubleshooting issues on the server, managing and monitoring environment, those types of things, looking at logs, worrying about backups. But what we're really going to focus on right now is going to be the provisioning of sites, giving sites to people, letting them request sites, planning out the architecture of sites, thinking about governance and adoption. We're not going to go really into the technical part of what that role does. Now, with a background in IT and a background as a server admin, I've seen some real extremes when it comes to the provisioning and management of SharePoint sites. We have the IT control, which is the IT really has tight control over all the sites. They have tight control over permissions, maybe even go to the extreme of managing all the permissions just with AD groups. And then anytime the people managing the sites have to request a change or even create a library, they have to go through change requests or put in a ticket through IT. So that's the very sort of extreme of IT control. Then I've seen the other end of the spectrum where you have business user empowerment. That means there might just be a form that someone can fill out, and anybody that fills out the form can have their own site collection. And I've seen this, this is definitely another extreme. So you have your own site collection, and you may not even know anything about SharePoint. You can do whatever you want with your site collection. So there are going to be issues with both of these, so we'll kind of talk about why there are issues. Now, the first one, with IT control, of course, every time somebody needs to make a change in their site or do something with permissions or invite people, they might have to go through a change request process, fill in a form, and wait. And IT has a lot of work to do. There's going to be a team involved in having to spend a lot of IT resources working on every single one of these. But then on the other hand, with the business user empowerment, especially if you haven't put any real governance or real training in place in your company, that could end up spending a lot of IT resources as well, because I hand somebody a SharePoint site and they go into site settings, start clicking around, they're not sure, and they could break their site, they could mess things up, they could be very confused. But that's also potentially going to create problems for IT and cost IT a lot of resources, holding their hands, spending time, walking them through things or fixing things. So the awesome thing about these new team sites in this respect for just freeform collaboration, team sites, file collaboration, is look how easy they are. Think about that as IT. Now you can have your site provisioning plan and you can still have your IT control and all those things that you do on that server, but now when you hand someone a new site, it's easy for them to understand it. There are easy buttons everywhere. They know how to quickly create a list, create a library. Once they're in their libraries, it's easy for them to understand how to add columns. So this is really going to be helpful for you as IT to help you not have to spend so many resources in either of those other situations. Okay, so now we're kind of going towards the direction of this is where IT starts coming into play with thinking about how the end users are working in the product. If you build it, they will come or not, maybe not. I've seen organizations where you just spin up SharePoint and say, okay, everybody use it now. Doesn't necessarily work. So next we're going to talk a little bit about the adoption portion. I know that, used to be a server admin. A lot of times we're doing our admin thing, we're working on servers, working tickets, and a lot of times us IT people don't necessarily think about what the end users are thinking when they're using the product or how they feel or what their experience is like, because we get familiar with it, we get used to it. So we're going to talk a little bit more about thinking about them. All right, so now we're sort of bridging over to the user adoption portion, which, again, a lot of companies don't necessarily even have this role or this thought process, but it's very important. I think as SharePoint has evolved over the years, it's definitely been something that companies know now to think about and plan, so it's really great. All right, planning and communication. These are some different concepts that are really important for user adoption that I'll talk about for a few minutes. First of all, identify your key stakeholders. What are stakeholders? This is important. This is an executive or set of executives who know that SharePoint is something that we need for the organization, and they know why, and they themselves are encouraging people to use it. A lot of the times, if it's just IT, putting up a SharePoint server, end users aren't really motivated. They say, what do I need that for? And they don't really have a reason to go there. So the key stakeholders are going to be people that are going to send out the communications to the company saying, how do you use SharePoint? Why do you use SharePoint? And encouraging the users to use SharePoint. And I've even seen the extreme to where, you know, that person is telling people they have to go through a training module or look at a certain SharePoint site, and it's required for them. So that stakeholder is going to really help you drive those people over to SharePoint. Define your vision and rollout plan. And this is with any software. Any software, you need to think about what you're going to be doing with it. SharePoint isn't something, again, that you just put up and people immediately start using it. So think about what the vision is, what do you want people to be doing with SharePoint, and understand how that's going to be communicated. How are we going to measure SharePoint success? So once we've rolled it out, once people have started using it, and we've encouraged them to go there, how will we know? We have to define sort of what our goal is there. Are we looking at hits? Are we looking at our search engine logs? Or, you know, what are we looking at to be able to say, okay, this is the number that we expected, and then now we've reached our number. So we have to try and define that up front. Identify and groom your SharePoint champions. Now, this is really, really important. Who in the world are SharePoint champions? These are going to be people, not necessarily IT people. These are going to be people in your organization that are passionate about SharePoint, are people that are managers that are over other teams, and those managers are passionate about SharePoint, and they are the ones that are going to help sort of proliferate the use of SharePoint. There are a lot of little things in SharePoint, like lists and knowing how to use documents. You know, me as the adoption guru or the SharePoint IT admin, I can't walk up to every single end user and ask them what they're doing on a day-to-day basis and find the inefficient things and tell them to do it the SharePoint way. But those SharePoint champions, they might be in the IT team, they might just be power users, they might be team leaders, they are closer to the end users. They might sit next to each other in a very close team. They are going to be intimately familiar with those processes that the users go through. So those are going to be the important to people to start and be able to see those behaviors and be able to say, oh, well, you could do that thing the SharePoint way, and it would make your life easier. Because guess what? End users are busy. They have a job to do. They have something that they do in your company. A lot of people, maybe kind of the younger, you have millennials that really want to always try a new technology and immediately jump to it. Not everybody is going to want to try something just because it's new. So why use SharePoint? Make their job and their current tasks more efficient. What are they doing already? Don't say, hey, now use SharePoint for this other thing that's completely unfamiliar to you. Say, hey, I see that you're sending a list of team members that are going to attend this training. I see you're sending this list back and forth in an email. And I see people making addendums to the list in an email thread. Well, guess what? Look how easy it would be to take this and make it a SharePoint list. And then everybody could just go to the same link. And this is very, very simple. This is low-hanging fruit. Everybody goes to the list, then it's easier to collaborate. You have alerts, you have version history. So that's a very simple thing, but those little things are everywhere. You just don't know them, and that's why the SharePoint champions are going to be important to go identify all those small things that people are doing. And then, of course, you have the concept of uploading files that we'll talk about and, you know, moving them to SharePoint instead of emailing them. Again, these things are very simple, but it's all about what are they doing on a day-to-day basis that we can make quicker and more efficient with SharePoint. All right, so here are some points that have sort of things that people might be doing. These are very specific behaviors that we might see, like emailing file attachments back and forth, files stored on file shares and desktops in different places, sending lists of things around in email threads, and collaboration on simple spreadsheets. All right, so upload a file to SharePoint so there's one version of the truth. Very, very simple. But these are behaviors that end users are doing that they might not necessarily know that SharePoint is a better way to do it. And when files are stored on desktops, move them to SharePoint. When you're editing a file directly in SharePoint, you can just keep editing it. You don't have to download it to your desktop, edit it, and then upload it. How many people have you seen do that, right? It's one of those simple things that people might be doing the wrong way. Sending lists of things around in emails, create a SharePoint list, send the link to it. And then you have things like collaboration on simple spreadsheets. A simple spreadsheet is something that has, you know, not a lot of complex macros or complex charts and a lot of tabs, but something that's just maybe a list of things. And you can take that and make it into a SharePoint list. Now, you think, well, if it's a spreadsheet, then you can put it in a library and people could just work on the spreadsheet together. But explain to the end users the benefits of having it as a list. Again, alerts and versioning and the ability to see exactly who changed what and when they changed it. The ability to be able to go edit those items, maybe even have approval at the item level. Those are all things that will make their lives easier and make them be able to have a more productive day and things they're already doing. Do you have any?
Yeah, sure. I was going to sort of talk about it. We're moving on to one more section, right? And so just talking about it from a product team perspective, what you've talked about recently, I really do agree with what you're talking about, Laura, in terms of this balance between sort of just empowering people to try it out and see how it gets done, and then also helping lead people through it. A couple weeks ago, I visited a large multinational corporation in New York, and we're talking about their SharePoint deployment, and they told me basically they have two modes, which I think really sort of exemplifies what you're talking about. One is for a basic team site, they let anybody create it, and it's, you know, sort of a free-for-all and see how it goes, and they can add a little bit of governance later. And then they have a different type of site that is really meant for best sharing practices and exchanging knowledge within the entire enterprise. In order to get one of those sites, you have to meet with their team first. And they mostly don't talk about technology. They talk about all the things you're talking about, how to get the most out of the site. You know, they basically force the team to establish a champion for the technology ahead of time and then sort of work with that champion about empowering them with things like this. And we really are trying to evolve the product to be able to do both of those things. We are, as you'll see in demos and as Laura talked about, making it dramatically simpler to use a team site. I know we've always done that, but I think really with our ability in the cloud to do fast twitch, rapid iteration to the UX, and with all of your feedback, we're really going to make it such that you don't absolutely need a SharePoint champion to get started. But if you do have one, you can take advantage of that. And maybe, you know, depending on scenarios, and which is why we'll invest in site templating and quick creation of sites as time goes by. So I really do think, you know, it's a journey, but the modern SharePoint is really supposed to exemplify that balance, being able to empower that, but also not have it be required. And so hopefully get the best.
That's
of
true.
Worlds.
That's definitely true. And that's one of the really great things that I like about the new team sites is that even, you know, when we start talking, even if you're sending out an announcement, if you're sending out an email to everyone in your company, it doesn't have to be a SharePoint champion, but it could be your communication. Point out to people, like, you know, a tip of the day, a SharePoint tip of the day, show them how to go create a list. Again, it's very easy now. You can stay right there in the list. Think about the end user and think about this new experience. You can stay in the list and you have a quick little button to be able to change what columns are showing on the screen. You have a quick button to be able to look at things as tiles and be able to even move things around to different locations. Yeah. It's all more intuitive now. I love it.
And then a few minutes ago, you mentioned sort of establishing success metrics, right? I think it's super important. Just to share what we look at on the product team, there's broad, we have pages and pages of metrics, but as far as core KPIs that we look at, so if I'm not standing on this stage next year, it's because these particular stats were not met and they found somebody new who could try to make them meet it. But it's monthly active users, and I'm pretty standard in the industry. We looked at daily and we looked at weekly, and we really thought for a product like SharePoint, you know, communications apps certainly look at daily active usage. We thought monthly was about right. Of course, we hope everybody comes back multiple times in a month, but in an aggregate stat, that's what we look at. We also look at our attach rate to exchange all up, which I think is a very common practice. Maybe it'll be a little different in a particular customer. But you take a product with more usage currently, which Exchange has more usage than SharePoint and Office 365, and you talk about how you can make sure that most users of that bigger service are using your service as well. And so it's something to think about, I think, when you think about a team site rollout. What is everybody visiting the portal, but not everybody is visiting the IT web or this particular team site product or knowledge management product, and how can you make sure a lot of people want to focus on getting a bunch of new users, but that's not necessarily the easiest. Why don't you get the users you already have using it in a new way? And then for us, one that's really interesting that I thought a lot about for my team, how to ensure we were focused on a really easy-to-use product, because as we mentioned, it's one of the key metrics. And frankly, monthly active users is not necessarily a great engagement of that. It could be our field team doing an awesome job getting people to come and try. And so on our team, we look at what we call second-month new user retention. So for somebody that comes back, a brand new user that comes here for the first time, are they coming back the second month? We really thought, and it turns out there's a high correlation. If you get them to come back the second month, the chance they're being there 10 months later is extremely high. And so the major drop-off, I think, for a product like SharePoint really is the new user coming back and making it a habit. Once they've made it a habit, it's you sort of got them. And so that's what we look at, and I thought that really exemplified for us, because I think, you know, no matter how much the sales team sells it, if a new user comes in and they don't come back, that is on me and on the product for not delivering what the end user needed. So those are just a couple quick tips as you're establishing success metrics. That's what we look at internally right now. And we look every month and we try to tweak the metrics that we're looking at. But.
Search analytics are also a good thing that you as the IT admins or the tenant admins, you can look at your search analytics to be able to tell maybe what people are searching for and not finding. Or maybe things that people are searching for and then not clicking on anything. Those are the abandoned search results. So those are some additional things you can use to sort of really start fine-tuning once you've kind of gotten that established.
And we announced a little while ago, but demoed here a lot, that we do have admin usage reports in SharePoint right now. So it'll give you some of the stats I mentioned. And of course, there's a bunch of ways of collecting extra stats about your usage of your users as well.
They've made those a lot more digestible lately, too. I love the updates to that.
Cool.
All right, so now we're bridging into, you know, talking, you know, being an admin and then bridging into thinking about the end users and talking about getting them to adopt it. And now we're putting ourselves in the heads of the end users and think about what they're experiencing. You know, if you have to think about maybe your mom trying to use a SharePoint site for the first time. So we want them to be able to collaborate more efficiently. Just think about some basic things like a shared inbox list, document libraries, and sites. SharePoint for the masses. So that's a great thing about this new update is that, to me, again, it seems like it, you know, not for people, for people that have been using SharePoint for a few years, it's an adjustment, right? It's a new look. It's kind of getting used to it. But think about this as more of a new end user. It's really much easier interface. Have you guys ever experienced this? You hand somebody a new team site. Team sites are really about the content. You know, this was always kind of a frustrating thing to me because I'm not really a designer. I'm not one of the visual people in SharePoint. But as soon as you hand those power users or business users a new SharePoint site, what's the first thing they do? They want to make it pretty. They want to try and change the colors. So it's really about what the content is in those sites. So kind of when you're provisioning your sites and you're handing the sites out to them, it's about, you know, explaining to them that, hey, this is what libraries are. You can have multiple libraries for different purposes. You don't have to use that one default library that you get with your sites. So try and focus on the content. And so the new look is really going to allow for that. It's got a nice, easy interface that's not going to let them get too caught up in, you know, going through a lot of different screens to worry about how to change the look. All right, so it's easier than ever for business users to start their new site and have it up and running quickly. It's easy to organize and share files, so the modern libraries and lists, it's more intuitive than ever to work with files, share them, and just get your job done. And users just want to do their job they were already doing. They don't want the technology to have to get in the way. A lot of the times, end users even think of new technology as something that's being done to them. So we don't want to be in the way. We want to help them and encourage them and just help them do their jobs, not hinder them or make it complicated. And another awesome thing about the new modern, you know, all the new modern look to SharePoint and libraries and OneDrive is, and the new apps that we have, is that you can take it with you. You can work wherever you are. You can work on your phone. You can go to your team sites on your phone. It's huge. And then you have quick list and view creation. And views have been one of those things that it's, you know, again, think about the person that's brand new to SharePoint. The IT person might have to hold their hand and walk them through something that seems really, really simple to us, the IT people. But now it's made even easier for them. All right, we are actually going to show you all these, this fun team site stuff we've been talking about.
Great, thanks, Laura. So yeah, I thought a lot about how to do this and not how to just replay the demo that maybe you have all seen, just that goes through the basics of the team site. And so we'll show a lot of the same features, but hopefully in a new lens. I sort of created a top five list that I figured could go through the demo. So these are, as you go back to the office and you talk to end users, you talk to people who couldn't go to Ignite and they're asking you, so you know, what's new about SharePoint, or maybe if they have preconceived notions that I think maybe you can help start address. This would be a top five list of the narrative mini demos you can be able to do. And so number one, maybe the thing you get is that SharePoint's behind the time in mobile. And so the first demo in just a couple minutes will show you that you can explain the entire value. Okay, you can explain the entire value of SharePoint in a team site directly from the mobile device. You don't need, you know, of course, you can go to the web and you can show a bunch of features there, and we'll show that in a minute. But I really wanted to just show you, you can pick up your mobile phone in just a couple seconds, show the value of your team site. I think this is really important. So I had some time with Satya, you know, Jeff and I and a couple others, on Friday of last week. And this is where we led. We wanted, you know, Satya is a very busy guy. He loves SharePoint, but we really wanted to make sure he understood the value of what it was. And so we decided to do that entirely for mobile, like booting in people's head what a SharePoint site is. And we said, you know, we told them it's a website for your team. It's a content-centric destination, a website of pages, apps, document libraries, and lists. And you can show that all here. So if you boot the SharePoint mobile app, you can quickly, you know, talk about how the list of sites are right there. And as you drill into a site, you can see news and activity. And so to reinforce what's going on here, here's the home page of a team site shown from a mobile device, where we really focused and got back to basics of what we wanted people to get out of a team site, which is the ability to spotlight and figure out what's going on with content. That was when we talked with customers about, you know, many people customized home pages, and the most common types of things they were putting on the home page was designed to have that forest through the trees look. And so you can see here, this news section is curated and spotlighted by members of the site. So this roadshow deck within this loyalty program, that's a deck that we think, you know, a member thought that everybody in the site might want to be able to access. So if you click through it, you get a modern page that shows a little bit of context and then directly links right into the deck right there. And then below that, of course, is activity, which is powered by the Microsoft Graph. And so this is a way with, sure, I get it, Adam, but not everybody's going to have time to be able to create news every day. And that's where the Office Graph or Microsoft Graph works for you 24/7 to see what's going on in the site and presents both files you viewed before as well as what's popular. And we're, you know, you can tell we're still balancing the algorithms. It's heavily weighted right now to things that I have viewed, maybe because it's a bit of a demo site with not a lot of active places in there. But the first item there happens to be something that's popular, multiple people have been able to view. And that's just, you know, a simple way of describing the value of the homepage. And then I like to say reinforce. It's pages, documents, and lists, and then show each one. So if you pull up the nav, I love showing this team charter page. And I tend to start with really simple scenarios. I found that team charter is something a lot of team sites need, you know, and it really shows the value of bringing together content from across 365. So in this team charter page, which is a new mobile page, we'll show you how to author it on the web in a minute. We're working on mobile authoring as well. But you can tell it has embedded PowerPoints, the formatting text that you need to express your message, an Office 365 video embedded right in there that would play in line, as well as a Power BI chart that you can embed with and play it right in line there.
That is so cool.
Yeah, and the good old CBS renamed highlighted content, a way of having the, keeping the page dynamic. And so that's just, you know, really the thing about our modern team site is it doesn't actually allow you to do dramatically new scenarios. If you're familiar with what the team site has been and always has done, it's really embracing mobility and embracing intelligence and doing it in a way that's fluid and more approachable, we feel, than it ever has before. And if you don't feel like it's approachable, if you don't feel like you could just get going with it, please send us feedback. You can shake this phone when you're in the app and it comes up with something that'll go directly to the team, or any piece of web UX has a feedback button at the bottom that goes to user voice. And that's really what we're trying to get at here. And I think demonstrating the phone is really the way we can land that message. And I can tell you, as a product designer, having to think about the core constructs of SharePoint as it applies in mobile has been incredibly focusing, right? Because it gets you to focus exactly on what the most important elements are. So we talked about pages. For documents, I think this has been well advertised throughout the conference, but we're leveraging the power of OneDrive. So I just click Documents, and immediately, within under a second, switch me into the OneDrive app, where I have the full ability to browse all my Office 365 files, including those from groups and obviously team sites, because every group gets a team site. And this is really cool for a couple reasons. One, you could use the latest, I can force touch and peek into libraries. I can take a couple things offline. There's a couple already, so I'll scroll down here to get more. Hitting the parachute button to take it offline. And, of course, you can go in and share a file and stuff like that. You know, one other thing, if people are skeptical about why the OneDrive app should be a file explorer and why wasn't it just built into the SharePoint app, there is some already, and there will be more and more reasons you want to look at all your files holistically. For instance, there's this new Me tab here right down at the bottom. So if I go to the Me tab, first off, I see all my offline files across all my sites in my personal OneDrive. And so, you know, it makes sense to have a dedicated files app that can centralize all that together. And then you can see really cool stuff. Like in the Me tab, here is a list of all the files across all my team sites in my personal OneDrive and their activity. So let's choose something that's going up, not down. And you can see a graph of the activity per file. And of course, you know, this is available for any files, not only those in the OneDrive, but because now that that OneDrive is really an explorer for all your files, we get to centralize all this and put that all together. And that's what a quick demo I like to do to explain the value of a team site, storing documents. If you attended Lincoln's session, you know that over 80% of users of SharePoint in a month interact with the document library. It's by far the most popular application that we have. So I can go back to SharePoint to go back to the SharePoint app. And we've talked about the value of a site, and now we've talked about pages and documents, and of course lists. Good old lists is one of the last core elements of SharePoint. Laura talked about a canonical scenario, maybe something simple that's tracked in a spreadsheet might make a good list example. One of the examples we use here is departmental contacts. I love using examples that include people in them, because it really gives a chance to reinforce how integrated the suite is. So this departmental contacts list lists all the departments of the company and who is on track for being part of this team. And because this is part of 365 and these are people columns, I can click on like Mark Cashman's name and it goes directly to his Office 365 profile, right? And so it all sort of comes together as a suite. And you can see we have we're adding, as time goes by, more and more functionality to the mobile app to really allow you to have to fully describe. I think you can already describe the high level. But for instance, when we shipped in June, we didn't have list editing, and we added it in an iOS update very recently. So I could go in, and I could take Andy off the team and add in. Dan, do you want to join the loyalty program? And just like that, save and do an updating to a list item. Once again, we are really listening to feedback. This was some of the non-5-star ratings explicitly called out lack of list editing, and so that helped us appropriately prioritize the work. And so, you know, I won't give a full tour of the mobile app. There was a dedicated session earlier today, and you can certainly see a bunch of drill-in videos. But what I really want to take away as sort of demo vignette part one was that you can tell the entire value of a team site directly from the mobile app. And this is great, especially if you're, frankly, on the go on the bus or you see the the CTO in the elevator and want to just quickly talk about the value of SharePoint. But of course, at the same time, talk about how it's new and refreshed and exciting. So the second common thing that I figured, if you had to keep them away, let's go to seven, is really the improvements we made and how easy it is to find your way around SharePoint. I'll be frank, I got a lot of feedback from end users, even around Microsoft, that say, hey, there's too many SharePoint sites. I don't get how to go to which one. I can't keep track of them. I don't know really where they are. And that, frankly, that sort of first step into SharePoint turns a lot of people off, even if they were to get to the team site and that perfect answer is right there. And so we've made a lot of improvements. It's sort of a geeky term, but we call wayfinding, you know, the ability to wayfind around the product and through SharePoint. So if you haven't experienced SharePoint Home, it is certainly the most public and in-your-face way that we've really focused on wayfinding and getting around SharePoint. And so if you go to anywhere in Office 365 and you click on the app launcher, this used to be called Sites, and now it's called SharePoint, because we wanted to make sure everybody fundamentally understood that SharePoint is back. And it gives you what we call SharePoint Home. So this is the same list of sites you saw on the mobile app. And it is powered by the Microsoft Graph, and so it is automatically updated. I can quickly show you the one I have in MSIT just to prove. Like, this is my personal tenant at MSIT, where you can see the OneDrive and SharePoint site. The site about SharePoint is the most popular. We have a copy of that loyalty program right here. We're working on Vision Day 2. So you can see it automatically stays updated with the sites as you work every day. We're putting this everywhere. You saw this here, you saw this in the mobile app. If you move or copy a file in OneDrive into a SharePoint site, it's that same list. We're working very closely with Word, Excel, PowerPoint to update the backstage to use the same API. We'll release it as an API for third parties. We really want to make a clear conceptual model. And there are too many SharePoint sites that you will have access to have a branch tree list. We really do think that the solution to this problem is to use the Microsoft Graph to get your working set of sites that you interact with or your peers interact with. And of course, if that doesn't work 100% of the time, that's why we have following right here. That's why we have recent down below here. And of course, for corporate portals, we have featured links as well. And even down below, at the bottom here, we have suggested sites, sites that maybe you haven't quite interacted with enough to make your frequent list, but your peers do, or we have some suspicion that this might be a site you'll be interested in. And so that's one way of wayfinding. Of course, another really popular way of wayfinding is via people. I won't bother switching back to iOS, but we have this people tab. And one of the common uses of it is you click on a person and you click to see the files that they're working on. And that's just sure, it's great because you get a 360 view of somebody you didn't know. That's what we say in the demo a lot. But it's also just a great wayfinding tool, right? Sometimes I get back to the file I need by looking up the person I know I'm working on it with, and then it's right there. And we really make that ubiquitous. So if you haven't seen the new Intelligent People cards on the web, that allows that same scenario. We're right here. If I hover over Mark Cashman, some of the fastest UX Microsoft has ever built within Office 365. It comes up really fast. We have a new caching layer that we're trying out with this particular piece of UX.
Free socks.
Free socks? Yes. Obviously, we've done this demo. If you're familiar with one of the demos we're doing, we're suggesting free products. Free socks is a very popular product. I do have a couple SharePoint socks, so I guess we can give out at the end of the talk. Anyways, back to the narrative. You see Mark Cashman. You can see documents he's working on with this group. You can show more documents right here. You can go back and look at Mark Cashman's full profile. And I really, when we talk about wayfinding, and if somebody says, hey, it's too hard to find the content in SharePoint, I would have a dual approach to this. I would talk about the great work we've done to give you a working set of sites, but also say we have to take a very people-centric view. Dan Holm likes to talk about how SharePoint really brings together content, people, and processes. And so you can see Mark Cashman's document. Of course, this is only the documents you have access to. You can see who he's working with. For people that Mark works with, what documents they're working on. So just a really great way of wayfinding around the product and finding what you need. And the last thing, of course, is to point out of the work we've done to really make the conceptual model with groups clear. If somebody says it's too hard to find the way around SharePoint, they sometimes mean 365 all up, and they're sometimes talking about, well, do I get a full SharePoint site with my group, or do I want a group or a SharePoint site? And that's one of the major things that we talked about in May and I think are delivering on at this conference, is that every Office 365 group gets a full SharePoint site. And so if you go to a SharePoint site right here, you can tell if it's part of a group. It tells you it's a public group. You have a group card where you can get to the other capabilities of the group. We think group conversation is popular enough that we'll put it right front and center there. If you go to the group conversations, it's incredibly easy to get back to the full site. You can get back to just the files right there, or you can click on site, and that takes you back right there. And so this is another way, when you have feedback about getting your way around SharePoint, that I think we've really tried to make it simple. And we didn't do it by, you know, working for 5 years to try to do one consolidated UI that brings it all together. We let each product, each brand be great at what they're at, but really add cues to be able to get back and forth between them as needed. And so that's number two, that's sort of finding your way around. The third one, I think, is in development. And I'll show a couple things that are starting to help with this. And I think you'll see to do a lot more over the next year. But Laura mentioned one of the great ways of maybe encouraging more usage is to move away from classic attachments, just attaching a file to an email. I'll show a quick couple highlights of some of the things that have done for that. You may be familiar with some of these features, but in Office 2016, if I click on a new mail message and I've been working on a file in my OneDrive or in SharePoint, and I go to attach file, you actually see it right down here. Here's the talk we were just working on in Laura's OneDrive. And then down below, here's from the tenant a couple files. And if I click on this, it shows as a what we call, I forget the official name for it, but around the office we call it a cloudy attachment. And so it sends a, it's actually sort of a link, but the UX makes it look like it's an attachment. And that way there's one version of the truth. And it's a way that you aren't taking a file offline from stored in SharePoint. And it can go right there. And of course,
huge. I love this. This is really going to get people to go to the site and work on that one file. It's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. And I think there's a lot more we could do. There's a little more work we can do to hook it up to our company shareable links feature and really make sure it travels all together. But I think it's a great start to sort of show the connection between the product. The other major way we've sort of integrated, whether you use that explicit quick link or whether you're just grabbing a link, we've really there is still the traditional SharePoint access control list if you need it. But we actually find a lot of people go to a SharePoint document library and click on a document, and they just want a link. And we've really done work to align the model of generating links with the model that is in mail, which is the security model. In other words, if you mail somebody a particular an email, of course the recipient has access to it, and they could forward it along to others. And the only way other people can see it is that person has forwarded it along, and so on and so on. But just sending a mail doesn't make it automatically discoverable to the entire company. But it's one of the simplest sharing models that exists. It is certainly not the only one. But the get a link feature is really supposed to help mimic the sharing model of email to make it simple to be able to do that. So if I have this mail by default, anybody with this link can edit the item. And of course, there's some configuration if you need. You can actually sort of set it to anybody in Contoso that the thing has access. Or if you really want to send it in mail but don't want to allow people to forward it, you can have specific people that you're allowed there. And of course, if you don't allow editing, then it's a view-only link. And another cool feature that we've added, if you copy this, and I go back to my group mail, and I just reply right in here, this is in Outlook Web Access only. But if it tests well, we will bring it to more aspects of the product. You get a rich preview right here, right? So people can you can automatically see, you know, we will make these links shorter as time goes by. I get it. They're not really semantically readable. But as you paste this link and you're like, oh, is this the right link? Or is somebody recipient? Is this worth clicking on right now? That preview of both the content, the title, a snippet of text, and it really gives you this confidence that you're sharing the right thing. Plus, it makes your email look a little bit prettier. And so that's just a couple ways on that third vignette of moving away from attachments. If you're going back to the office and talking about some of the things you learned here, really talking about that transformation of working in the cloud, working in a shared place. The fourth vignette I wanted to show, we're doing pretty good on time, right? So I can do the full vignette. Sort of helping show what's important. You probably saw pinning, you maybe saw news, you maybe saw quick links. That really comes together in one story around, hey, Adam, there's a lot of content in a SharePoint site, but what is the most important content right now? What should people that visit the site be able to look at? Yes, activity is good, but I have this opinion that I want to express. And maybe in the past or maybe with other products, you can do that by creating a really, 20-click experience to sort of create maybe a page that highlights the right thing. And maybe you can do some of that, but we've also added really a quick way, if the only thing you want to do is highlight what's important, we have a couple places to be able to do that. So I would be shocked if people have not seen us. It's one of the most popular demos we do quite a bit. But in a document library now, you can pin files to the top. So I will actually unpin something so we can repin. So if you take any file and click pin to top, which I was on a slightly, this screen resolution truncates it. Generally, it's before the dot, dot, dot. And it's available right there. This is a per view and per folder setting, I believe. So if you were to change the view or to change the go into a folder, you'd get a new set of pins. That's just sort of a decision we made. But it's a quick way of, you know, maybe before you would, I guess technically you could do this in SharePoint already. You would be able to sort of hit edit page if you could find that button in the document library, add a web part that could spotlight a particular piece of content. But this is when we talk about real tangible ways, but I think we've made us TeamSite more approachable. This is one of them where we just took a common scenario and made it accessible in just a couple clicks. I guess since we have plenty of time, I can geek out with a feature. You can do things like move it right. Move it left again. I already showed unpinning. And just simple features to be able to do that. Another feature that we have is what we call quick links. So it's a new web part that you can add to the homepage of your team site. So actually, I think we've done it. So this is the site. Let me go into it. You want to say something?
I love the new web parts because they're so easy. You don't have to have a PhD in SharePoint to be able to. Again, thinking about those people that you're handing a site to for the first time, they have nice, easy buttons to click and be able to see their content there.
Yeah, it's and responsive, of course, so it looks great on mobile by default. So this is actually internal Microsoft property. I scrubbed everything for no confidential data, but this is a site, in fact, the group with the team site backing it they were using to plan the Ignite conference. And we've decided, actually, we added an extra homepage. You know, I think you've heard me say we lead with news and activity. It just so happened that somebody thought it would be really cool to not only have news and activity, but have a couple quick links. So Mark Cashin added the spreadsheet of all the sessions and also a link to the Ignite speaker portal. We got a little more work to polish up the UX there, perhaps. But I think that's, you know, most of that can be handled by the news scenario. But hey, we have a web part if you just wanted to say, in addition to news, here's a couple quick links to important things in the site. You, of course, have the nav on the side, you can do this. And so, yes, we have a lot of choices for that. And we'll get feedback and sort of hone in on the ones that are working best. But to show you how you do that, I'll go back to the demo site. So go home. And this homepage, why we lead with news and activity, and many, many people will not customize it, and it'll just get better as time goes on, is indeed customizable if you want. You can hit edit. And this is a modern page, just like you've seen in other demos.
That happens a lot, by the way. People get a team site, and they never touch the home page. Or they put something on it when they first get it, and they never touch it again.
Yep.
So that's great that the content stays fresh automatically.
Yeah, the number of team sites I've been to that are 2 years in, or I've seen that are 2 years in with the Getting Started tiles on it.
An empty calendar, maybe?
Very popular Getting Started tile. And you know, we've been doing this for 11 years. We always go back with how much the team site should be a getting started thing to encourage you to customize versus just approachable. I think we're really, the theme right now for the modern SharePoint is untethered approachability. Looks great on multiple form factors, and that's why we're really getting a little away from the assuming you're customized. It's there if you need it, but it's also, if you don't customize, it is just approachable and usable as
huge.
Is. So let's see what we were doing. We were looking under news and activity. We can hit plus. There's a quick links web part. Oh, it's smart. I added the quick links part to prep, and it even remembered what I already added. But you can add, and you could type any URL in here, or here's your MRU from stuff from the site. So for instance, I could go ahead and spotlight that particular piece of content.
I love that they don't have to know what the URL is or have to go find it and copy it and have it somewhere in the clipboard and then come back here, that all their recent things and recent lists and things are right there to add as quick links.
Yeah.
That's another big step.
Yeah, you know, and we talk about, I know we're doing a bunch of modern UX, and we talk about things how it's open source and based on the SharePoint framework, and I know maybe that doesn't resonate everybody, that's sort of internal, but it makes a big difference. We can do things like this. It is so much cheaper to develop UX than it ever used to be. We can pull in a web service of most recently used docs, show right there in the pane, reuse that UX from other pieces of UI, which I know we're a multi-billion dollar corporation, and it doesn't really matter how easy it is for us, but we can get more done that way, and so it allows us to really focus, I think, on the simple things in an authentic way that's different than it was before. So there's this theme of showing what's important. We talked about pinning. We talked about quick links. Of course, there is news, and we do expect news to be really transformative and popular as a way of spotlighting content or spotlighting, writing a quick trip report or a blog post about things that are important. It'll show here, show on mobile. There is a whole aggregated feed of news across all your Steam sites in the mobile app. It'll probably end up being the default mobile tab when you open the app for the first time. And we'll be sending mobile notifications. I think I mentioned in my internet talk, but when Amy Hood, who's our CFO, publishes the quarterly results in a couple quarters, I hope that most employees get a mobile notification of that event directly from their SharePoint mobile app. But you know, if I add news, this is the new modern page creation. We can do whatever we need here, like if we're doing a trip report. You know, this is something we're improving every couple weeks as we have new simple page authoring. This is the authoring experience of that team charter page that I showed you a couple minutes ago. Technology-wise, this scenario is a little different. And so I can do many things. I can add text. I can add, Power BI web part. I can really highlight content. This is probably the more complex and time-intensive way of spotlighting content. But in addition to those quick ways, you can do it the more traditional way, which is create a page and actually, spend the time to say, add some commentary and then pick a couple documents and spotlight it right on there. But one of the things I wanted to make sure people knew as a web part is the future of content by search, which we call highlighted content right
now. That's my favorite new one. It's like a content search web part, but much, much easier.
That is certainly the goal. We'll do the thing where we'll start easy and we'll add more features and hopefully it won't get as complicated, or at least it'll take a while to be able to do that. But just to give you a sense of what you can do. So this is a way you keep the page fresh and dynamic. So sure, you're going to spotlight the particular content, but as you add new stuff to the library, it can automatically show up in this dynamic feed right on your page. So if you're really looking to really spend time highlighting particular pieces of content, you can do that by, checking a source like the site, all sites. You can stick just documents or videos, which will sort of show back differently. You can filter and sort, add keywords, so you can search for only things related to loyalty or California or something like that. And of course, you can choose layouts that are either a card or a list view. And so I think it has, we talked about this thing where this balance between making it approachable and then enabling power users. This one's probably a little more in the power user scenario. But I do think there's this theme you can talk about. It really, the team side is much easier to be able to show what's important. The last thing I'll do is nothing. We've actually shipped this over a year ago, but of the theme of showing what's important, I personally actually use the Delve or the Office 365 blogging canvas quite a bit. So if I go over to my personal tenant and I go to my personal Delve feed, this is as an employee of Microsoft. At the bottom here, we have my blog, and if I click on All Posts, it is not necessarily new news here, but it is part of the larger ecosystem of things where you can really talk about what's important. And we will integrate the blogging here into the news feature as well, so that if somebody that you follow or you interact with a lot ends up blogging, that would appear in the news feed, et cetera, et cetera. But you can sort of just see, on my personal blog, I talk a lot about both the product as well as career development and stuff like that. And so it is not technically using the same technology as that new authoring canvas. We built it before that, and we will replat it on time to that, but it's spiritually very similar gallery, very similar technology. And so that's just one thing that has existed for a while. I didn't want to only talk about new things, but that is one more thing there.
I love the new list, just the way to get around in views, too. That's, again, thinking about that end user making it easy and them not having to ask the IT for that.
Yep. So let's see. 4 vignettes so far. We have one more to be able to do. We're doing really good on time. That'll be perfect. We're going to glide right into on time, maybe with a couple minutes for questions too. So, but more to do. We talked about mobility. We talked about you can show the entire value of your T-site on mobile. We talked about wayfinding and finding a way around. We talked about maybe a couple quick ways you can encourage users to move away from attachments and into one version of the truth, and really spotlighting what's important. The last one I really wanted to talk about really was how to organize your docs. Because I think, once again, I talk to people who are skeptical about SharePoint. In addition to all the skepticisms that I've shown, they tell me, hey, I just need a file share. I don't really need any of the features of to be able to actually organize.
You guys have heard that, right? I just want to dump all my files in SharePoint. They can organize them. We want them to organize them.
Yeah. And, once again, it's that philosophy, not required. It's not like to get value out of SharePoint, you have to do all this organization. But we've made it a lot easier when you do need
to. It's easier to find things in a lot of cases that way.
So, you know, if I go to let's actually go to a document library with a little more organization to it than the document we've been using, which is regional launch plan. And so I'll just do a quick highlight of features. One, you know, we're really focused on some of the basics. So one new feature that we have added pretty recently, if I go to this, I can actually drag and drop entire folders into the document library now. So if I take this Q2 financial folder that's sunk from my OneDrive and put it in here, and you can just see right like that, all the elements of the,
nice.
The whole thing is
yeah,
uploaded.
Yeah, that is new, okay.
Yeah, just focusing it, making it easy. Other things that we've been able to do is, if you do have metadata, it is easy to be able to work with and edit. A quick tip, you can always hit the I key to build up what we call this info pane right here. I oftentimes, when I use the library, I'm working with it, and as I work on it, and it's actually sticky. It'll, although one of the MVPs is reporting a bug in that, but the intention is if you've had the info pane open, it'll stay open for that particular library. But this is where we have modern metadata entering, including for things like taxonomy columns right here, where I can add a particular taxonomy column, save. I can still fully interact with the thing while it's saving. And of course, we also show activity as well as sharing information right in this info pane.
And you haven't gone anywhere. You didn't have to navigate to different screens. You didn't have to click on the ribbon. You didn't have to edit properties and go to a different screen. This is awesome that you get to stay in one place and be able to do all that and see all that.
Yeah, yeah. And small little things. Lincoln Damaris got a lot of applause when he talked about this. This ability to resize columns on the fly has been something long requested in SharePoint. You can get more applause here. They're excellent. So as you work with metadata, we just went through a laundry list of a lot of things that customers have told us for a long time that they wanted. And once again, we can iterate on those quite quickly. I had created a custom view here, which is going to show the ability to do group by, in fact, double level group by. So here you can see these are the launch plans. You can not only see what region the launch plans are in, but also within that, you can see if they're approved, draft, or reviewed. Always a crowd pleaser is when I take a particular document and say, you know, actually that's not quite approved anymore. I'm going to move that back to the draft state. And so editing metadata doesn't just feel like filing your taxes. It can also be as easy as working files
awesome.
Around. And so, you know, that's one of the ways we've made things a lot easier, a lot more approachable. And so just a quick demos if people are trying to get more value out of SharePoint than just a typical file share. One last crowd pleaser is if I go back to, it doesn't really matter, but I'll go back to the typical view, and I select a couple different documents. Something we haven't quite shipped yet, but we're shipping soon, is the ability to bulk download. So if I click a particular item, there we go, and I hit save, it creates a zip automatically. I can go ahead and see that zip, and,
nice.
And so it's really, really makes a huge difference in being able to quickly work with files. I'm sorry?
No more manually.
The audience was saying they built that manually. If you have other items like that, please use user voice. We look at that quite often to be able to detect where we should invest in. And you know, obviously, we get a lot of scale from our investments here because this feature will become to OneDrive, frankly, OneDrive Consumer, OneDrive for Business, as well as SharePoint team sites. And so we build it once; it's usable everywhere. And so I think we can make a lot of progress there. So to recap, this is not some sort of official list of what's new, but it's my take. If you really wanted to talk about some of the things, key high-level things in terms of what's new with SharePoint and explain it in an approachable way to end users, be productive on the go, demo SharePoint from a mobile app, show the value, explain somebody what SharePoint is only by using your phone, really address people who think it's too hard to find things in SharePoint with a lot of ways we've addressed wayfinding ways. There's early steps, and we will do more to move away from attachments to really make it seamless to work with cloud files. It's not just if you happen to think about that structure is worth it. No, that's what's most natural. You just try to start using your SharePoint files in Outlook, and it lends you into the to an experience where you're sharing and working with links. Really, especially for C-level folks or people that are managers on team, being able to showcase what's important, this can really help. SharePoint can really help people drive in the right direction by spotlighting the content that they need. And it looks like wrap up in Q&A, because I stole the slide from an agenda slide. That was not the last one. The last one was organizing your documents and how it can be better than a file share. So that's just a summary theme that hopefully shows in action a lot of what Laura was talking about in terms of helping with end user adoption. So Laura, I'll hand it back to you and you can go into the next section.
We know that you guys are not end users, so you probably already, most likely already know how to do views, and this is not a concept that's complicated to you. But again, so what we're reiterating here is that you as IT, now you can give out sites, not have to worry about the hand holding, and you're going to have more time to do all the fun things that I love to do, the custom business solutions, and that's, you know, workflows and forms and building a solution out of a site. So now you as IT or the site manager will have to spend less time hand-holding and you'll be able to spend more time as doing maybe some citizen development. What is a citizen developer? It's that no-code solution person. That's me. That's the stuff that I love to do. We have, who are they, though, in your organization? A lot of times they're site managers or power users, just no-code solution builders. Sometimes it could be programmers, or usually not, but it's a lot of cases, it's the everything SharePoint person. You're a very small company. You're the SharePoint person, and you're the only person on the team. I see a lot of that. I polled a few hundred of my closest friends on Twitter and social media and asked them about, you know, their role in SharePoint. So look at that, 46% is the everything SharePoint person. That is very, very small companies where it's up to that one person to do all the admin, all the custom business solutions, all the site provisioning and the handholding. We have sometimes citizen developers are end users. We have a lot of power users slash site managers that aren't necessarily IT server admins. We have a few server admins, more programmers than I expected, and then a few design people. So those are kind of, that's the role, that's those are the people that I see the most in SharePoint and interact with the most in SharePoint. We have the, I thought I expanded that out, but the concepts of the Flow and Power Apps are the new concepts. I'll just go to the next slide real quick. We can build useful apps without writing code. So this is kind of the direction that it's going in for, this is what we're gonna have more time to do now that we, you know, have such easy SharePoint for the end users. We can use, this is a screenshot of Power Apps. There have been a lot of Power Apps sessions in this conference. Check it out if you haven't heard of it. It's powerapps.com. You can go try it out if you're in Office 365. You just sign in. And there is a app in the App Store, and there is a web design interface. But it is, again, a no-code interface to be able to build logic apps without having to write code. You don't have to just use SharePoint as your data source, though. You can have data source in SQL or Facebook or Twitter or on-prem or, you know, in the cloud, Azure, all these different places that you can have your content, be able to mash it together in your own app easily and quickly without being a program, without having to write code. It's a nice visual design interface. And to go along with that, we have Flow, which is the new workflow engine. You can do things, there are actions that you can do in the buttons in Power Apps, but you're gonna use Flow, you can even trigger Flow from within your Power App. So what, you know, why would you do an action in the Power App versus Flow? Well, this is gonna be for situations where you need to have conditions or you need to have multiple things happen, or it's a little bit more complex. That's where you're going to create the button in the Power App to trigger Flow. Flow doesn't have to be related to Power Apps, though. Anybody can go to flow.microsoft.com. They open this up. You don't have to have an Office 365 account. You can just have a Microsoft account. Your mom could go create a Flow. So this is going to be a nice, easy interface. Again, just like Power Apps, it integrates with a lot of other systems.
Yeah, a couple cool flows that I've seen. Let's see, I know there some of them are being demoed here. There's a flow you can create that such that when, if somebody emails a DL with an attachment, you take that attachment and put it in a SharePoint document library. Just sort of a cool example of what you can do with that. I have somebody on my team that, a colleague of mine that sort of takes a look at for any travel receipts that are automatically emailed to him, or he emails it to himself, and then it'll automatically put it in his OneDrive. So we can automatically have his travel receipts all organized. We demoed at our session this notion of looking at a Twitter handle and putting an item in a SharePoint list that's based upon, a Twitter hashtag. For any hashtag, putting it in a list. So, you know, the example that we were using was if, a particular company was suggested getting ideas by people who were tagging something on a particular hashtag, that would pull it in. I don't know if anybody's actually done this, but I noticed that Flow, just to sort of demonstrate that it's not just a SharePoint technology, Flow just released a Nest connector. So I was thinking on my team that a flow would look to see if a PM spec is late, and if so, turn up the heat in their office. Anyways, okay, that's my attempt at a joke. But it really is sort of a great flow. And if it isn't clear, that's directly integrated with SharePoint and right now lists and soon to be document libraries. We can directly create a flow and a Power App directly from a SharePoint list. I got a chance to demo it, that integration, to Scott Guthrie and Satya last Friday. And one of the things I was telling them is the excitement and the possibilities with Flow, Power Apps, and of course SharePoint together really reminds me of these early days of SharePoint. Really championing these individuals who want to be a hero to their team and automating things that maybe otherwise wouldn't have been able to be automated, and really sort of showing the power of technology in incredibly simple ways to save time. And so Flow and Power Apps are both in preview right now. You know, it is definitely early days, but I think there's incredible opportunity for all that come together to one experience to help people manage content, process, and people. And that's certainly what our mission is over the next year as well.
I can do like a 2-minute demo of a Power App.
Do it. Okay. We got 9 minutes left, so that'll be perfect. We'll finish up and take a couple questions.
You guys don't laugh. I am not a designer. I'm not creative. This is showing really how quickly that you can create a Power App that does some pretty powerful things. Now, when I created this one, I chose it to be more of a Surface or like a desktop size app, but you can choose to do a phone layout if you'd like. But I'll go ahead and just preview this and show you a couple of things and then show you, you know, how just quickly how to get around in there. I have a few different customers. I can see a count of my customers, a count of all the prepaid hours. And as I click through each customer, I'm able to see a filtered view of the projects for that customer. And then I would be able to go into more details for that project. So now I can look at the timesheet for that customer. And then potentially have a button to fill out a new timesheet, have a button to edit projects, and that's all done with screens. If you are an InfoPath user where you had views in InfoPath, you have screens in here in Power Apps. So this is where you would create all your screens and define them. You have the ability to easily connect to your content sources without having to know any code, and then pull them in to be able to view in what's called galleries. And then be able to insert forms onto different screens in your app. So that was my quick demo. I did do a longer session yesterday where I did a longer Power Apps demo.
There's plenty of opportunities to learn more about that. Yeah. And you know, I think Power Apps is great for this particular, you know, a lot of times you do something and it's sort of like, well, why isn't this a SharePoint List UX? And you know, sometimes that'll work, but for that type of scenario that Laura just showed, it really is sort of taking the list data and showing it in a new particular way, in a way that that is right for that particular situation, maybe not for the entire view of the list. And we will hook that up as time goes by. We're committed in H1 of next year of being able to take a SharePoint list or a disk form or an edit form and hook it up into a Power App. And so it really will get deeply integrated.
All right. Well, we can wrap it up and have some time for questions.
Yeah. So if you have questions, we can do lights up and we can come to the mics. I will say, hey, this was a new type of session. We generally haven't done, we did a couple others, but with an MVP and somebody from the product team presenting together, talking about end user adoption as well as technology. So if you like that, please, everybody says please use feedback and ratings, but this is one where we really do want the feedback of how well this worked. If you didn't think it worked, come up and tell us. I guess I'll do the thing like in a mobile app, or if you give us, if you like it, we'll tell you to go 5 stars. If you didn't, then we'll send you some other feedback form. But no, in all honesty, we could use your feedback about it. And if you did like it, please take a second to give us a shout out on the feedback app for MyIgnite. And with that, let's take some questions. We cannot see anything in the crowd, so thank you.
Thanks.
Sorry, I think there's people there. Yeah.
Hello. Did they turn it on yet? Microphones.
Hot mics. Hot mics. Get your hot mics.
Hello. Okay.
No. All right. Okay. I'll start there and then go back and forth. Can you turn on the audience mics? There
All
we
right.
go.
Thank All you. Right. So something that you said, Adam, really resonated with me. One thing that I've heard many times is how difficult it is to discover SharePoint sites. And you mentioned that you had encountered that also. And then, you know, how do I discover what SharePoint sites are out there and what I own, or, you know, what my users can't find the site that they requested a long time ago. And you showed the SharePoint site page where, you know, all the frequent and the pinned items were there. But how about, like, just items that were shared with me or stuff that I created or stuff that I own?
Yeah. You know, if you're talking on a – so I'll go back to demo real quick. First off, we didn't really talk about it, but if you're talking about individual items, OneDrive really is an awesome way of getting back to not only the sites in your personal OneDrive, but a file explorer for everything. So stuff like shared with –
Oh, can y'all put the screen back on? It's
I'm
in the OneDrive.
On 7,
there's a shared.
And I'm seeing it on my confidence thing. So there we go. So I went to OneDrive, and here's my files. You can see things shared with me right here. You can see Discover. It was just sort of a Delve-like view of all the items. So on a per-item basis, I think OneDrive is a great way of getting back to files, including recent files right here as well. On a site level, if I go back to the SharePoint home, I didn't demo it, but we actually have a new search experience right here, too. It's insanely fast. So if I type loyalty, it is really quick feedback here. And these are things in my working set that I've worked with before that are immediately right here. And so it's most likely that I'm looking for something I've interacted with before, so it's in my Office Microsoft Graph working set. If I need more, I can show more results and get to a full experience. So I bet we have more work to do, but on a per file basis, I would say OneDrive has a bunch of files there, and then
or the app, or the OneDrive app.
The OneDrive app on what did I say?
Well, the OneDrive on the screen, or the OneDrive, app itself
on the screen. Has both of those, and then that new search experience I didn't go into, but that's sort of a catch-all, I suppose, for other ways.
Great, thank you.
Cool.
All right.
Okay.
Question over here. Oh, can
we
guys
turn on this
turn
mic
the other
too?
Microphone on. Okay.
Or turn all mics on. Great.
You can yell, and we'll repeat your question.
Hello.
Okay.
Great.
So thank you both. I want to start off by saying love the modern UI. It's great. We have a bunch of users, actually most of our users in our organization are using SharePoint with the existing traditional UI, right? The modern UI is great and intuitive for new users. For the existing users, however, there is quite a leap. Now, my question around training and change management is Microsoft going to update the training that's available, that it has provided? Is it going to keep both versions together? And the second question is, are you going to be providing sort of a map for our end users, for us to hand off to our end users, that kind of covers what it was before, how did they do things before, and what are they going to be doing now, and what they cannot be doing, and what's new?
Yeah, great common question, and I would say a couple things. First, on Friday, I think midday, Zohar Raz has a session on change management that is going to drill into a lot of these. I think we learned a lot, especially from the document library rollout, so Lincoln Damaris is going to come on stage and talk about these, where we learn things like we're going to do better first-run experience for users as they transition to new UX. Of course, we do have the option for continuing to use classic UX on a per-library as well as a per-site basis, and so we sort of want to earn the right to do that. And you know, we have a lot of backstops for IT who might need to sort of have the traditional UX. And yes, absolutely, we will update training. We have, and we will continue to. We have a first-rate content team that is furiously writing as many documentations as possible. We have designed the UX to try to, you know, I think you're giving feedback that maybe we didn't achieve this goal, but we did try to make it familiar to end users using the same name, same concepts, where we could. I get that a lot of people have muscle memory, a lot of people have gotten used to an old UX. And you know, this isn't our first time doing this. About every 5-6 years, we tend to update the SharePoint UX majorly. So we try to remember last time we did it and lessons learned. But I do get that, and I do think Zohar's talk on change management will go into a bunch of details that you can give feedback there, and of course, give feedback to me more as what you'd like to see. But thank you.
The good thing is that when you go to list settings or library settings, all that's still the same. So really, mostly what's changed is that end user interface for just getting around in the list and adding columns and things. So for those power users and site managers, all that's still the same experience.
And you know, majority of our users have used the existing UX. If you have ideas for updates to the modern UX that would make it more approachable for classic people who are used to classic, please let us know. So we got about a minute left. Let's do one more question on each side, and then we can do questions up here too. I'm happy to stay at for a little bit, but let's do one more public question from each side, and then we'll do the hover around the stage thing.
Okay, so let me understand real quick. When we start saying we're going to share those links to be able, send links via email to be able to share the documents, and you want to open it up wide open, and if I forward the email to somebody, everybody's going to be able to have access to those, right? Now, how do I, from an end user or power user and IT, audit how many of those links are out there, and do they expire, and how do we do management for that?
Yeah. So the model you got correct, we sometimes call it the golden ticket model. Like if the golden ticket is in the URL itself, that gives you access to the document. So you have to be given the golden ticket to get access to the file. You know, there's a whole session on sharing. I didn't demo it here because I don't think it was turned on in my tenant, but very soon, if we haven't already, we'll shipping link expiration. So in that thing where I was determining a couple settings for the link, another one will be expire after a certain number of days. We have robust auditing. We have the ability to control external access outside the company to the links. And you know, the new analytics feature that I have that I demoed can show you if a thing has been more popular. We get this question a lot about external links to people outside the company as well. And that's where we even started sending mails. If somebody you send to externally has viewed the file, and if it's a problem, you can revoke their access immediately. So devil's in the details if that meets your scenario, but that is something we've done a bunch of features around to sort of allow governance and control of those links.
Now,
and of course, I hope you don't do that, but it could be turned off entirely, and you can use the traditional ACL model, maybe on a per-site basis or something like that.
Access to these reports and auditing, is that going to have to funnel through IT, or is that something that the site owners would be able to do?
It's a mix of both. I'm happy to give you my card, and we can follow up on some details. There's a good blog post on blogs.office.com with a security white paper that talks about a lot of that as well. All right, last microphone question, and then?
We've been using SharePoint on-prem for 11 years now, and thinking about upgrading to SharePoint 2016, we're on 2013 right now, but I would prefer that we go to Office 365.
Mm-hmm.
I was just playing around while you were demoing, and we don't have the modern team site yet in our tenant, so I was wondering what is the timeline for pushing that out. We're not an early release or first release tenant, so
yeah.
I was just wondering about that.
Isn't there also a special place you need to go when you click create a new site to be able to get it?
I would say the simplest thing is in my modern intranet talk, there's a roadmap slide that sort of lists when things are coming when, and so I can either, you come up afterwards, I can give you my card, or you can look at, I think, Breakout 2029 that was the modern intranet, which has a roadmap of when things are coming. It is coming, frankly, piecemeal, and I think you could give us feedback on that. But document library should be pretty much rolled out 100% worldwide.
Yeah, it was.
The new homepage, I think, is 50% to first release. There's 10% of prod for lists. And so give us to the end of the year, and I think we'll have, broadly speaking, rolled out pages, documents, lists, and the site as a whole in a new way. Next quarter, to give us some leeway, but next quarter when we ship the new team site creation experience. So that is a way, if you're starting afresh, you'll get all modern. And that will ship before the end of the quarter. Of course, most of this works on your existing content as well,
like
your existing lists, your existing documents, that type of thing. So you could critique us for that, but unfortunately, it is not a five-word answer. No soundbite for the deployment there. So thank you all for staying. Happy to come up here and answer more questions. And thanks again.
Thanks.